And that's the good news. The bad news, you've got to listen to a sermon from me now. Well, it's not really bad news, but I hope not. I just want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2 about, well, actually, the Sunday school referred to it, and it's the shepherds and the angels. And so I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2, the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." It's a familiar story for many of us. And I'd like us just to take three things that the angels said to the shepherds. And that is, there's news of great joy. There's joy. Then, and the joy is concerning a Savior who's been born. Joy, a Savior. And then in verse 14, it says, "And on earth peace." You know, a lot of Christmas cards have the words joy and peace on them. And I want us to think a little bit about that this morning, particularly the word peace. You know, the word peace. Because peace is sorely needed in our world today, isn't it? You know, if you think of all the things that are going on in Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and many other places in the world, we need peace. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet was prophesying about the coming of Jesus. And the prophet said this. It talks about his name. And it says this, that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. His name is Prince of Peace. That's what the prophet said, and that's what the world needs today. You know, it needs peace. The prophet talked about the Prince of Peace will have a government which will have peace that never ends. What a wonderful prophecy that is. Some of you know I enjoy soccer. Football, we call it in England. And I just want to talk for a few minutes about one of the most famous soccer games in the world. Okay, Peter, not Manchester United, sorry, not even France or England or Arsenal. No, on Christmas Day 1914, when the First World War was only a few months old, the British and the German troops were in their trenches, and on Christmas morning, they put down their guns, got up out of the trenches, and interacted with each other. And they had a game of soccer. I'm sure some of you have heard about that. It's the most amazing thing. In the middle of a brutal war, that as they thought of Christmas, they thought of peace. I don't know who won the game. Probably it was Germany. But it was so abnormal, so unexpected, that we remember it 100 years later. The peace that comes with Christmas. But you know, that peace didn't last very long. Even as they were playing that game, further down the line, troops were shooting and killing. And in the other three Christmases of that war, there was nothing like that that happened. It was a peace, but it was a peace that didn't last. And you know, peace on earth, unfortunately, doesn't last, does it? But the peace that Jesus gives is a different kind of peace. And it is a peace that is different to the world's peace. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give." The peace of God is different from the peace in this world. This peace in this world between people might last a while, but it doesn't really last. But God's peace is different. The peace that Jesus Christ gives is a different kind of peace. It's a peace independent of outward circumstances. It's a different peace. I'd like us to look at some verses in the Bible that talk about the peace of God and the peace that he offers to each one of us. In the book of Romans, the writer says this, "For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." He's talking to Christians. But what he's saying to them is, before you became a Christian, you are an enemy of God. And he says that by the death of Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. Now, the word reconciled in English probably has several different meanings. But one of the meanings is that you're mending or restoring a relationship. You know, you're reconciled between two people. And what the writer is saying is that a person can be reconciled to God, can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Because if we really want to understand what the problems in the world is, it's not to do with the horizontal level peace between this country and that country, or this person and that person, or husband and spouse. It's not on that horizontal level. The first problem is a vertical peace, peace with God. And that is what the Bible tells us. We're not at peace with God until we know him through Jesus Christ. In that same book of Romans, chapter 5, the writer says this, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're able to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Christmas is a time where the angels talked about a time of joy, because we remember that he came into the world to give us that peace. But there's another kind of peace the Bible talks about. It's not just peace with God. We can have the peace of God in our hearts. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, says this, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me read that again. I'll read the verse before that. It says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So when we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God in our lives. And then we're able to interact with other people and have God's peace as we interact with them. And that's something that as believers, we should be doing. The writer to Hebrews says, "Strive for peace with everyone." And back in Romans, it says, "Let us pursue what makes for peace." As a believer, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we have him as our Savior and we have his peace in our lives, we're able to interact with other people in a peaceful way. The writer to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, said, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So how is this possible? It sounds great. It is great. But is it too good to be true? How is this thing possible? Well, one of the other parts of the message of the angels to the shepherds was this. It said this, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he came as a Savior to save us, to save his people. That was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. He provided a way of restoration, restoring that relationship with God. In the book of Romans chapter 5, and by the way, that is a great chapter. If you have a few minutes this Christmas holiday, read Romans chapter 5. It's a wonderful chapter. But the writer says this, while we were still weak, while we were helpless, we couldn't help ourselves, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love to us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. The Sunday school presentation was great. And we got all the characters here from the story of the birth of Jesus. What was the last bag? What did the last bag have in it? Cross. The cross, that's right. And it reminds us that he had a purpose in coming. And his purpose was to go to the cross. Now, when Jesus was executed on the cross, there were two other crosses there, weren't there? There were two criminals that were executed with him. And there's a remarkable interaction between them while they're hanging on the cross. They are being tortured and dying a horrible death. And yet there was a conversation that went on between the criminals and Jesus. And I just want to share that with you because we can see there how we can come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. It said one of the criminals was railed at him saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other one said, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And in this brief little story of when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, it helps us to understand how to receive Jesus as our Savior. The first thing is this, that criminal who's hanging on that cross beside Jesus, he actually acknowledged that he was a sinful person himself. He said, we are receiving the due rewards for our deeds. He doesn't say, hey, I'm an innocent man, there's been injustice here. He doesn't claim to be a victim of his circumstances. He just says, I'm here because I deserve to be here. And he says that to Jesus. I'm here because I deserve to be here. I'm dying. And then he turns to Jesus and he recognizes who Jesus is and that he has the power to save him. Because he says, this man has done nothing wrong, talking about Jesus. And then he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why would he say that when they're just minutes or hours from dying? How could Jesus help him? But he recognized that Jesus had the power to help him. In that verse that I quoted at the beginning from Isaiah, one of the names of the Savior is this, Mighty God. Prince of Peace, mighty God. He had the power. He has the power to save. And this criminal recognized that Jesus Christ had the power to save him. And he asked him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Now, we were talking this morning at our Bible study about remembering. You know, remembering things in the past. And the word remember in the English language has more than, has a connotation to it that you're going to do something. If I say to Esther, remember it's my birthday next week. It's not. But if I say that, I'm not just saying, wake up and, oh yeah, it's Andrew's birthday, go back to sleep. No, I'm kind of hinting that she does something, like buy me a card or buy me a present, whatever. The word remember implies doing something. And so this criminal, when he said, remember me to Jesus, he was asking him, when he comes into his kingdom, and he recognized that he had a kingdom, remember me, please do something, save me. And what does Jesus, how does Jesus respond? Jesus responds by saying, well, does he say, we're nearly finished, don't worry. How does Jesus respond to him? I mean, the man is helpless and is pleading for help from Jesus. Jesus, what does he say? He doesn't say, sorry, I can't help you. It doesn't say, I'll show you how you can help yourself, how you can save yourself. It doesn't say to him, hey, you deserve to be there. Sorry, mate, you can't do anything, you know. No, he says this, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus had the power to save him, and he did. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. Jesus died for our sin. I'll give you one short illustration, perhaps not a perfect illustration, but a few years ago, I was cycling to work, and I was cycling up Spurling Avenue, and it was a dark November morning. It's still dark. And as I went up Spurling Avenue, a pickup truck came out of Winch, and he didn't see me. He turned to go down Spurling, and he hit me head on, and I fell off the back of my bike, and the back of my head went smack against the pavement. If I hadn't been wearing a helmet, I think I would have been quite seriously injured. As it was, I was fine. But my helmet was totally broken. Like, I was amazed. It was cracked right down the back and split open and dented. And it had absorbed the energy of the impact, so that it wasn't transmitted to my head. Now, perhaps this isn't a very good illustration, but it is an illustration that Jesus Christ on the cross took the impact of our sin. It broke him on the cross, but it has protected us from the judgment of sin. That's why Christmas is a time of joy. That's why the angel said, it's great news of great joy. Because our Savior has come. And as was said in the Sunday school program, he went to the cross, he died for us, but he rose again. And he is alive in heaven today. And he's coming back again one day. That's good news. And that's what we celebrate today. Shall we just close? Father, we just thank you for the good news of Christmas, the news of that is good news of great joy. We thank you for the peace that you give to us, each one of us. We can have peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is a God who is a mighty God and powerful to save. Father, we ask that each one of us will know that for ourselves this Christmas. In his name, amen. Do you want to have another? And by the way, there is lunch downstairs afterwards, and everybody's welcome. So.